The reading is from Isaiah 62, verse 1 to 12. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name, and the mouth of the Lord will be bestowed. You will be a crown of splendour in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of the God. No longer will they call you deserted, or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hezibeth, and your land Beulah. And the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. I have posted watchmen on your walls of Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord will give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the prize of the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, never again will he give you your grain as food of your enemies, and never again will foreigners drink the new wine of which you have toiled, but those who harvest it will eat it and praise the Lord. And those who gather the grapes will drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Pass through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Remove the stones. Raise a banner for the nations. The Lord has made proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your Saviour comes. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accomplishes him. They will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called sought after, the city no longer deserted.
Right, this morning I've got the eye on the time. I want to talk to you on breakthrough prayer, and I pray that the Lord just help me in my own mind to preach what is relevant within the next few minutes that I've afforded to me this morning. So breakthrough prayer is the topic this morning. Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7. If you can get that up on the screen, please. Isaiah 62, 6 and 7. There we go. I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. And again, we know that the Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They'll never be silent, day or night. You will call on the Lord, give yourself no rest, and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. I'm going to take you to a different translation right now, the New American Standard Bible. Don't expect an American accent with it, though, but here we go. This is the only accent I can do, so you're going to have to put up with it, okay? On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Well, I'm sure all of us pray. Well, I hope all of us pray. I've got no nods. Yes, I pray. I once heard an atheist who prayed. He said, God, I just want to let you know that I don't believe you exist. And generally, we all pray. They say there's no such thing as an atheist on a crashing aeroplane. If situations are desperate, we pray. Once on an aeroplane going through quite a bit of turbulence, and across the aisle, a woman just put her head down on the table. She banged it down, you know, that little tray table, and she started praying, God help us, God help us, God help us. Someone once asked a politician, do you pray for the other politicians? To which his reply was, no, I look at the politicians and pray for the country. When our situation is desperate, we pray. as I said last week and the previous week, the soil of uncertainty is the soil to grow our faith. The soil of difficulties is where we find our faith, which is like a muscle growing. And let's face it, our theology on prayer can be quite cloudy at times. We want a God who somehow answers every single prayer. But when we look back, we realize we're actually glad God didn't answer some of the prayers we prayed. The late wife of Billy Graham, Ruth Graham, put it this way. God has not always answered my prayers. If he had, I would have married the wrong man several times. I don't think we have prayer all figured out. Billy Graham estimated that 85% of theological seminaries have no courses on prayer. Yet, for the Christian, prayer is like breathing. By it, the believer communicates with God, and through it, the believer sees God's will come to pass. I've got a quote coming up. What a man is on his knees before God, that is he, and nothing more. I'd like to personalize it to our church this morning, which is the next slide. What a church is on its knees before God, that is it, and nothing more. This is why we call it a time of fasting and prayer. To get to grips with God. To get to grips with God's will for his church and for some of our lives. You see, by prayer we tap into the mind of God. By prayer we move the hand of God. By prayer we receive grace and faith. By prayer we acquire wisdom and direction. Prayer also changes us rather than changes God. Which brings me to my first point. What is the goal of prayer? And this morning I actually want to start at the end rather than at the beginning. Some people may think that the goal of our praying is to receive the answer we want from the Lord. Well, that's where we are precisely wrong. The goal for our praying is not to see our will accomplished, but to see God's will accomplished. Isn't that what Jesus prayed when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, not my will, but your will be done. It's about a prayer of faith. It's about prayer that changes us rather than trying to change the mind of God. Prayer is not manipulation. Prayer is not trying to pull our life together and then ask God to rubber stamp it while I prayed about it. Prayer has to be found in faith and in belief. If it's not found in faith and belief, biblically speaking, we can say, well, then the answer is a non-believing, non-faith answer. And this is what we see in the book of Isaiah, chapter 62, this morning. There it is. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. Till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. That was the goal to their prayer. Righteousness and salvation like a blazing torch. They had many problems, Israel at this stage. And they could have prayed many things and asked God to have done many things for them. But the prophet Isaiah speaks to them. And this becomes their prayer, that her righteousness shines like the dawn and her salvation like a blazing torch. And I think that should be a prayer of any church today. That our righteousness shines out like the dawn and that salvation like a blazing torch. It reminds me of the prayer of Jesus, where Jesus said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the goal of prayer. Not my idea, not your idea, but God's will as it is in heaven, so let it be on earth. How amazing is that? When I did Isabel and myself did training with the prayer ministry team, one of the things we challenged the prayer ministry team on is for them to somehow get a glimpse of glory. What does the answer to this prayer request look like in heaven? The answer to Israel's problems was that her righteousness would shine and that her salvation would be a blazing torch. So why fasting and praying? Well, prayer and fasting is where we empty ourselves of ourselves. It's where we get to grips with God's desire, God's will for our lives, God's will for His church. It's where we humble ourselves. Fasting is a spiritual discipline. Fasting is taught throughout the Bible. Jesus expected His disciples to fast. And He said that God rewards fasting. Fasting, then, according to the Bible, means to voluntarily reduce or eliminate your intake of food for a specific time and a specific purpose. So here at BHBC, we have called it specific time with specific purposes as to why we are fasting and praying. Fasting gives you more time for prayer. You can use the time you would have spent having a meal and chatting with friends to pray. Acts 13, verse 2 and 3. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, that's the climate for the Holy Spirit speaking, worship and fasting, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after that, they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So they sent them off for the work God had called them after they had fasted and prayed. They heard from heaven. They began with God's will in mind. Just like we see in Isaiah 62. The next one. Fasting demonstrates the depths of your desire. Joel 1:14. Declare a holy fast, called a sacred assembly. Joel 2:12. Even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your hearts, with fasting and weeping and mourning. So it's a solemn time. We can't go around looking solemn, according to Matthew 6. We've got to put oil on our hair and look good. Because God knows the heart. We're not to advertise our fasting.
Oh, look at me. I'm so hungry. Oh, lasagna. Oh, the smell of it. Garlic bread.
Terrible. But a minister friend who once broke his fast, he felt terribly bad. And it wasn't me. It wasn't my own minister friend. And he said the smell of dinner that the wife was making for the kids, garlic bread and lasagna, all resistance crumbled. Another couple of minister friends that I'll tell you about right now. One guy was from England. Noel was his first name. It still is his first name. As thin as a rake. You know that expression around here? Yeah. And his friend was larger than life. And they were preaching and fasting and prayed one day. And Noel, the thin guy, points to the other pastor and the other guy's name is Pedro. So Noel pointed to himself, the guy's thin as the rake. He said, when you look at me, you'll think there's a famine in the land. When you look at Pedro, you'll see who caused it. But fasting, joking aside now, demonstrates the depths of our desire in the Lord. I desire the Lord more than the lasagna and garlic bread. Amen. Thank you for two people that will be desiring that more, desiring the Lord more. Fasting releases God's supernatural power. The world doesn't need more Christians thinking they're clever and have it sorted out. The world needs God's power. And fasting is a tool we can use when there's opposition to God's will. we know that God's will does undercome opposition. And Satan would like nothing better than cause division, discouragement, defeat, depression, and doubt amongst the church. The devil's boring. What he does to one person, he does to every person that allows him to do it. What he does to one church, he does to every church. It's always the same. Division, discouragement, defeat, depression, and doubt. Same old story, over and over and over again. United prayer and fasting has always been God's way to deal a decisive blow to the enemy. Yes, we are a family of God, but we're also an army. We're an army, I know that scares a lot of us, but we are an army with a heart. Isn't that great? Ezra 8 verse 23 from the Message. So he fasted and prayed about these concerns, and he listened. Isaiah 58, 6. God says, "Is not this kind of fasting I've chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke?" Folks, this is one of the scriptures that's really stirring in my spirit when it comes to fasting and prayer. So we've seen from Isaiah 62 that the goal of prayer is to pray according to God's will. God desires a glorious church. He desires a church that will bear fruit, and fruit that will remain for eternity. God desires the church to be a place where people get saved, delivered, healed, set free, filled with the Spirit, discipled, raised up into leadership, and ready to go out and make a huge impact for the Lord. And some of the topics we're going to be praying over on the next screen, you'll see that. Some of the topics we're going to be praying over for our church here at BHBC is breakthrough, unity, fruitfulness, forgiveness, reconciliation, and there's a list in the book of several more that we feel led by the Lord, that this is what the Lord wants us to fast and pray about. Next point, and I'll move quite fast. Now, we've looked at the objective. We pray according to God's will. Not our will, not my desires, not my wants, but the Lord's will. As it is in heaven, let it be done here on earth. Not my will be done, but your will be done. That's why we need to fast, because it brings a humility, a sacrifice. It's not about me, it's not about you, it's about God. Hallelujah. The next thing is we see a provision. Look at verse 6 of Isaiah 62. "I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will never be silent, day or night." So in the context, Isaiah says that watchmen have been placed on the walls. And watchmen, historically speaking, were placed on the walls to watch out for an enemy attack. So they would sound the alarm if an enemy was coming close. But they'd also look out for the bearer of good news. And in the time in which Isaiah was written, the cities of the Middle East were fortified with walls surrounding them. People were set on top of these walls as lookouts. Their job was to keep a watchful eye out for the enemy who might attack without warning. They were the first line of defense for the city. And here Isaiah gives a very unusual application to the watchmen. He describes these watchmen as those who cry out to the Lord themselves for the city. Isn't that awesome? So what is God's provision? Watchmen. Someone will stand in the gap. Look at verse 7. "You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest and give Him no rest until He establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth." This is serious business. This is grappling with the will of God. Lord, I'm fasting, I'm praying. You're going to hear from me. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if you don't say amen now, I'm going to say, oh man, Lord, help us all. Very interestingly, these watchmen were to call on the Lord. Some translations translate the calling on the Lord, reminding the Lord. Not as if the Lord gets forgetful. But when we remind the Lord of His will, when we remind the Lord of His promises, we align our spirits and our lives to Him. So it's good for us to remind the Lord. We're not reminding the Lord for the Lord's sake. We're reminding the Lord for our sake, to proclaim His kingdom power. Prayer is praying the promises of God. Prayer is seeking out, declaring what God has already promised. Prayer is not necessarily praying our circumstances. We can do that. But even better, the prayer of faith prays God's promises. We've got to believe what God has said. Sometimes we approach God with no belief and then get no answer. And we wonder why we get no answer, because there's been no belief. And we can only believe in what God has said and revealed to us through Scripture. What the Bible says, where's the Bible? What's happened to my Bible? There it is. This is the Word of God. What the Bible says, God says, and what God says, the Bible says. We pray His will into existence. We remind ourselves of His promises, and I'm coming into a land. Our belief needs to be aligned with God's ways. Our faith needs to be strengthened. And we become watchmen. We become true intercessors. Not news broadcast intercessors, but true intercessors. Where God births things in our spirits for the nations of the world. In conclusion, this brings us to our responsibility. We've seen the goal is to pray according to God's will. We've seen the provision. God raises up watchmen and watchwomen. As already been said, God connects the accomplishment of His will with His people's willingness to pray. And you can see that in Ezekiel 22:30. I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not have to destroy it. But I found none. I've been saying to the Lord for this church, I will stand in the gap. I will pray. And now the Lord is looking for other watchmen and watchwomen. Sometimes God's purposes are not accomplished because God's people are not praying. God will establish His kingdom through prayer. God will accomplish the miraculous through our lives and through our church. But we've got to pray. What kind of prayers do we need to pray? Persistent, faith-filled prayers. Isaiah 62:7. You will call on the Lord. Give yourself no rest and give Him no rest until He establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. It's faith-filled. Not praying my desires, not praying some low prayer. God wants to lift us up to pray great, big, faith-filled prayers. In conclusion, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. The great Bible teacher, and I'll close with this, R.A. Torrey, who was an associate of D.L. Moody, then president of Moody Bible Institute, said this about the place of prayer in revival. I can give a prescription that will bring revival. Revival to any church or community or city on earth. First, let a few Christians get thoroughly right with God. If this is not done, the rest will come to nothing. We looked at it last week before the Israelites crossed over the Jordan. They had to consecrate themselves, purify themselves, because the Lord was about to do great things. Our flesh doesn't recognize God's great things. That's why we've got to consecrate. Second, let them bind themselves together to pray for revival until God opens the windows of heaven and heaven comes down. We've caught a week of fasting and prayer. in the middle of that week, Wednesday night, the 29th of March, in the lighthouse, we're going to have a prayer meeting where we call on the name of the Lord. And third, said R.A. Torrey, let them put themselves at the disposal of God for His use, as He sees fit for winning others to Christ. That is all. I've given this prescription around the world, and in no instance has it failed. It cannot fail. Now, sometimes you may have a prescription, but you've got to get out to the pharmacist and get the medicine. And you've got to take the medicine off the shelf and get it in. This is the prescription. We've got to get into action now. Let us pray. To have the cure sitting on the shelf, neglected, because you are too busy to take it, is a tragedy. And this is a call to Christian men and women here this morning to join us, our BHBC family, in a season of fasting and prayer. Will you be a watchman for God, or watchwoman? Will you pray God's will is found in the Holy Scriptures, revealed by the Holy Spirit? Will you expect Him to do great and wonderful things? Maybe in your heart you'd like to say, Lord, count me in. You might not know how it's going to work out. You might not know yet which days you can pray on, or fast and pray on. But this is just to get you started. A commitment to the Lord. Lord, count me in. Now, while every head is bowed and eye is closed, we ever like to end a service without giving you an opportunity to either recommit your life to the Lord or give your life to the Lord for the first time. Somehow you may have felt drawn to the Lord throughout the service, or drawn back to Him. And without prolonging any further, I'd invite you to join me in a prayer, which you've got to mean with all your heart, because the Lord looks at our hearts, doesn't He? And the prayer goes like this, and you're welcome to join me if you want to recommit or commit for the first time to Christ. Dear Jesus, I believe in You. Forgive me a sinner. I believe You died on the cross and rose again from the dead to forgive me. I now receive Your forgiveness, and I receive the new life You give me from this moment forth and forevermore. Before we say amen, every eye still remain closed, please. And if you prayed that prayer, I'd like to encourage you to raise your hand. For two reasons. Reason one, so that I can pray for you. Reason two, it's a public confession saying, Lord, I'll publicly stand for Your, for You, for Your name. Would you do that now, please, if you pray that prayer? God bless you, God bless you. Lord, You've seen every hand go up for all sorts of reasons, some returning, some making a first time commitment. I pray for the strength of Your Holy Spirit to be in their lives. I pray, Lord, that they would grow in You in grace and in strength every day of their lives. Surround them with your love. Fill them with the power and peace of the Holy Spirit. And protect them and their families represented. We pray in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, congratulations. If you'd like to chat with me sometime about that, then you're always welcome to. God bless you.